Hello and welcome to our program. We continue in this series concerning knowledge and the truth. Stay tuned. We read in 1 Timothy chapter 2, verse number 4, that God would have all men to be saved and to come unto the knowledge of the truth. However, we read in 2 Timothy chapter 3 and verse 7 of those who are ever learning and never able to come to the knowledge of the truth. Those people are described in 2 Timothy chapter 3, verses 1 through 7. We'll have a look at it in a minute. Have your Bible ready if you can. In the meantime, here's a message and song that is an old familiar. It should be a blessing to your soul. The Old Rugged Cross.
On a hill far away stood an old rugged cross, the emblem of suffering and shame. The dearest and best for a world of lost sinners was slain. So I'll cherish the old rugged cross till my trophies at last I lay down. I will cling. I will ever be true, its shame and reproach gladly bear. Then he'll call me someday to my home far away, where his glory forever I'll share. So I'll cherish
I'm looking at 2 Timothy chapter 3, verse number 1 through 7. It says, "This know also, that in the last days perilous times shall come. For men shall be lovers of their own selves, covetous, boasters, proud, blasphemers, disobedient to parents, unthankful, unholy, without natural affection, truce breakers, false accusers, incontinent, fierce, despisers of those that are good, traitors, heady, high-minded, lovers of pleasure more than lovers of God, having a form of godliness, but denying the power thereof, from such turn away." In verse 7, it says these people are ever learning and never able to come to the knowledge of the truth. In verse 8, it says they resist the truth. They are men of corrupt minds, reprobate concerning the faith. Well, with this list of things here, they have always been prevalent within the world. You can go all the way back to Noah's day up until today, and as far as the world is concerned, those things have always existed. However, this portion of Scripture is talking about the fact that in the last days, perilous times shall come. And the context that we have here in 1st and 2nd Timothy and Titus, for that matter, the context is the local church. And what it's saying is, if you're going to be able to get through this age of apostasy without being totally confused, we need to know. It says, this know also, that in the last days, these things are going to be in our local churches. And so there's going to be people who fall into that bracket within our churches who are, verse 7, ever learning and never able to come to the knowledge of the truth, because it says in verse 8, they will resist the truth. It says in verse 8, they are men of corrupt minds and reprobate concerning the faith. Now, this word corrupt, the dictionary says, it means acting dishonestly for personal gain. That's prevalent in our churches today. The word reprobate, we think that sounds like a pretty harsh word. The dictionary says it means to feel and express disapproval of something. And what are they disapproving of? They are reprobate concerning the faith, concerning what we used to believe for 2,000 years, and yet in these recent days we've changed everything, including the plan of salvation, which says now that don't worry about what Jesus said when he said, except ye repent, ye shall all likewise perish. We're going to throw that out. We're going to just say, pray a prayer, and you just have to believe, pray a prayer, and everything will be okay. Well, that's not what Jesus said, and that's not what we've preached for the last 2,000 years. But in the last days, this reprobate type of doctrine is going to come into the local churches, and it is being promoted by many who today call themselves fundamental independent Baptists. But it says in verse 10, But thou hast fully known my doctrine and manner of life and purpose and faith, long-suffering, charity, and he lists a bunch of things here. And he's talking to this pastor, his name is Timothy, and Paul is saying, you need to understand that what you've heard from me is correct. He says in verse number 14, but continue thou in the things which thou hast learned and hast been assured of, knowing of whom thou hast learned them, and that from a child thou hast known the holy scriptures, which are able to make thee wise unto salvation through faith which is in Christ Jesus. Now, when it's talking about salvation here, it's obviously not referring to being saved so as to go to heaven. Timothy was already saved. That's obvious as we read 1st, 2nd Timothy. However, he's talking about being saved from the apostasy of the day, which is being promoted in our local churches by these people who are listed in verses 1 through 7 of this portion of Scripture, even 1 through 8. First on the list, we have in chapter 3 and verse number 2, within our local churches, we have these me first church members. What does it say about them? They shall be lovers of their own selves. Lovers of their own selves. Well, you don't have to have a degree in Bible education to see that that's going on in our churches today. 95% of the people who name the name of Jesus who sit in our churches do nothing for the cause of Jesus Christ from one Sunday to the next, but they do lots for their own selves. They are interested in their selves and throw on a little religious activity Sunday morning, Sunday night, and maybe even once through the week. But they are lovers of their own selves because that's who they're investing their time in. It's very, very obvious. Second, it says they are covetous. That is to have a desire to possess something. Well, that's been going on in our local churches for many years now. It's 50 years ago, there wasn't a lot of that, but it's prevalent today. We have an example in Solomon, who was focusing on himself, who was covetous. He said, I am come to great estate. I have gotten more than all that were before me in Jerusalem. In Ecclesiastes 2:4, he said, I made me great works, I builded me houses, I planted me vineyards. Verse 5, I made me gardens. Verse 6, I made me pools of water. Verse 7, I got me servants, I was greater than all before me, I had more cattle than anyone before me, he said in verse 7. He said in verse 8 of Ecclesiastes 2, I gathered me silver and gold and peculiar treasures. He said, I was great, verse 9. I was greater than anyone who was before me in Jerusalem. Well, how did that covetous lifestyle turn out for him? Ecclesiastes 2:15, he said, Then said I in my heart, As it happeneth to the fool, so it happeneth even to me. And why was I then more wise? He said in Ecclesiastes 2:17, Therefore I hated life. I hated life. Why? Because the work that is wrought under the sun is grievous unto me. All is vanity and vexation of spirit. Ecclesiastes 2:18, he said, Yea, I hated all my labors which I have taken under the sun. And in 2:16, he said, And how dieth the wise man? As the fool. Covetous. That's where it got him. The next word we read in 2 Timothy chapter 3 and verse number 2 is proud, having this pride. That is having or showing a high or excessively high opinion of oneself or one's importance. That's prevalent. And then we look at the word blasphemers. What is a blasphemer? Well, do we have those in the church? Well, to be a blasphemer, according to the dictionary, is to speak irreverently about God or sacred things. To be irreverent is to show a lack of respect for people or things that are to be taken seriously. Well, could this happen to people in our churches? Well, Paul warned them in Colossae, which was a great church. He said in Colossians 3:8, But now ye also put off all these, anger, wrath, malice, and the next on the list was blasphemy. That is showing a lack of respect for people or for things that God wants us to take seriously. That's prevalent in our churches today. Disobedient to parents, refusing to obey the rules of someone in authority. Well, we don't have to talk much about that. Unthankful, not showing gratitude or appreciation. It's not saying that you don't appreciate. It's saying that we don't show it. Unthankful. And then unholy. What is that? It is denoting an alliance with harmful implications between parties with which we are not allies. That is being with the enemies of Jesus Christ and being more concerned about what they think of us than what Jesus thinks of us, than we have without natural affection. Now, that phrase occurs twice in the book, in the Bible. One is in Romans 1 and 31. It's talking about the world. And the other one here is in 2 Timothy 3:3, where this without natural affection has infiltrated our churches. Well, it used to be in the world that people put their families first until recent days. Now they put money first. And the same thing, without natural affection, has flooded into our local churches, where we don't have time to sit down and have devotions with our families every day like we once did in years gone by. No, recent days, that's all changed. We're focused on let's get some more junk, let's get some more materialistic things for our families, and forget about the spiritual. Let's focus on that which is temporal, and let's not get too excited about on that which is eternal. That is prevalent in our churches today. And then we have truce breakers. What is that? I've watched it for years. People walk the aisle. They're down there making a promise to God while the organ is playing, All to Jesus I Surrender. Or they go to camp as young people and they make decisions. And yeah, I'm going to live for Jesus. I'm going to have a standard address, and I'm going to have a standard for my music, and I'm going to have a standard for separation, and I'm going to read the Bible, and I'm going to pray. And we make all of these promises to God while the organ plays, And what do we become? We become truce breakers, where all those promises are short-lived. That's normal today in our churches. 2 Timothy 3:3 talks about false accusers. False accusers. We find that phrase three times in the Bible. And one is here in 2 Timothy, and then in Titus 2 and 3, and in 1 Timothy 3:11, and in Titus 2 and 3, and 1 Timothy 3:11, the word in 3:11 is transferred slander, but in both of those verses, it is referring to women who are false accusers, using their tongue to cause trouble. Boy, we're not going to go into that today. I'd like to do a whole program on it. Maybe I will sometime in the future. Then the next thing we have is incontinent. That means lacking self-restraint. The next one is fierce. That means just untamed or not under control. Despisers of those that are good. Feeling that someone who doesn't agree with what I agree with is just beneath consideration. Let's not worry about him. Just put him over there. Forget about him. That's prevalent in our churches today. The next one is traitors. Yeah, that is being cooperative, having a cooperative relationship with the enemy. Again, most Christians today are more concerned about the enemies of Jesus Christ think about them than they are about what Christ thinks about them. Then we have heady, high-minded. There you go. It's all about me. And then lovers of pleasure more than lovers of God. Once again, it's all about me. And in all of this, 2 Timothy 3:3, having a form of godliness, but denying the power thereof. Speaking about these people who profess to be Christians within our local churches, me first, church members. And what are they doing? 2 Timothy 3:7, they are ever learning and never able to come to the knowledge of the truth. Well, let's make sure that we're going to go with the truth. Let's go with that first group who the Bible says that God would have all men to be saved and come to the knowledge of the truth. Because one of these days we'll stand face to face with the Lord and give an account for our time here on earth.
Face to face with Christ my Savior.
Blissful.